Welcome, everyone. This again is Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollander, going over everything purple and gold for you folks each week, as we always do. And as each week, there's never nothing to talk about. This week got a lot going on with men's and women's basketball. LSU baseball, you know, had a good full-on opening series at the box. They won that series 2-1. We'll go over that. As well as football, kind of start things up, ramping up towards this spring game. They had some big visitors in town for this weekend. We can touch on that for a second also. But before we get into all of that, I want to check in with you guys. Good to be back with you again. Another week, more stories. We just go from one season to the next, basically. But it's always good stuff. Good to do it with you folks.
Yep, good to be with you. Like you said, a lot going on in Tigerland between 3-1 week for baseball, basketball, you know, looking at the tournaments, and football. You know, we 2 days from now, so probably when this podcast drops, we will be exactly 1 month away from the spring game. So moving right along, kind of exciting.
Yep, we're in the thick of March now, and the madness has not officially begun. That'll be starting 1 week from today when they announce the brackets, and everyone at your local office will be touting their prognostication abilities. But LSU women had a strong showing in the tournament. Unfortunately, couldn't get the job done against their nemesis, South Carolina, but still definitely an exciting game. And then the men have one last gasp at the tournament as they play in the men's tournament coming up this week. So, yeah, plenty going on, and definitely with the baseball, I think we got 5 more games this week. So, action-packed schedule in Tigerland.
Yep, and at least the Tigers, men's Tigers, finished at home on a good note, having to actually come from behind to beat Missouri, who is the worst team in the league, probably. I mean, they only had 8 wins. I think they were 8-22, you know, before they came to Baton Rouge. Glad we got the win, but they sure wanted to make it interesting. But that is, of course, following that first game against Arkansas earlier in the week, which was another one of those games where we beat Arkansas early in the year. Arkansas is not what they used to be, really, as far as a program goes. But, you know, leave it for the last week of the season for these guys to find themselves and feel like they got something to play for, since they're definitely not going to the postseason. And LSU wasn't ready. I mean, it was on the road in Arkansas, so that was, you know, I believe their last home game. But still, it just seemed like LSU was playing from behind all night. And they were. I mean, they were down by 10 or more for, I would say, most of the game, right? Like, they made it closer a couple times, maybe within the last few minutes, but Arkansas just put it on us, for lack of a better phrase.
In the Arkansas game, the defense just couldn't get going. They couldn't get any stops, and Arkansas was just running all over. The guy, I think Battle was his name, who's kind of been a resurgence for Arkansas, scored like 30 against LSU. And then it was good to get that home win against Missouri to close out the season. They were up by, I think, 18 with 3.5 minutes left, and then almost choked the game in true LSU fashion. I was like, here we go. Because Missouri was 0-17 in the SEC coming into this, and it was like LSU's going to give up the very last game to let them get in there. But thankfully, we clutched up. So they finished their SEC record 9-9, which is perfectly balanced. And then,
as all things should be.
Exactly. And an overall positive record for the season. So no need to pop the fireworks this year, but definitely an improvement for Matt McMahon in year two. And there is a chance we'll be in the NIT, so maybe he can build some momentum off of that going into next year. And he can at least show recruits that something is going on and basketball is just not completely dead in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I feel like this, you know, this end of the season is exactly how the whole season went. You know, you come back against maybe a team that you probably should have beat handily, but you come back and then have like a pretty good win, and oh, well, nice, like closing out with Missouri, but then you have a terrible loss to Arkansas. I mean, I was listening to that one on the radio, and I mean, we couldn't do anything. We got just absolutely, like, you know, beat up and down the floor. So, I mean, you hate to say, like, oh, I'm looking forward to next year when the season is you know, what, a day later or 2 days later. But, you know, I am looking forward to, I hope we can get back to the point where we can put out a product that, like, not necessarily competing for the, you know, going to the Final Four or something, but just a team that competes in the SEC and is fun to watch. Cause this year it just wasn't, I don't know. I just didn't find it that fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. We got Mississippi State in the SEC tournament by into the second round. So LSU's number 8, number 9, Mississippi State, noon Central Time on Thursday the 14th. And then they're going to have to run the gauntlet after that if they have any chance of making the tournament. I don't exactly see that happening, but I think just one win there is sufficient. And then you take your bow out. And I think that the commentators were saying that LSU is almost guaranteed a spot in the NIT if Texas A&M makes it, because like new qualification reasons for the NIT, where there's like 2 automatic bids from every conference, the major conferences at least, and then LSU would fall into that category as like the highest ranked out of those. So a little bit of basketball left to play, but the hopes are on the women at this point, I would say.
Yeah, very little, as in maybe it could just be this one game against Mississippi State, who beat us the last time we played. Although it's a new game, it's a tournament, anything's different now, but I don't know. I mean, there's already sort of some March Madness, I would say, in the air. You know, you had the upstart Missouri making this last minute push to LSU. I mean, luckily we held them off, but glad we didn't have to, it didn't come down to like one shot. I mean, that's how
every one of our wins seems like goes to.
Yeah. But like the South Carolina, the reason LSU played them again, and well, it was actually LSU's first SEC women's final game. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's first time they had finished top 2 in a while. Now they almost didn't face South Carolina because Tennessee was beating them in their semifinal matchup. South Carolina's, I guess, I don't know if it's center or what. Anyway, she's 6'8", left her wide open outside the arc, and she nails the buzzer beater. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this could have been a completely different SEC title game. You maybe could have seen LSU take home the crown there and be in a little bit better position in the tournament. How much remains to be seen, but I'd say the Tigers feel fine. Again, there was some ejections in that game, like we said. I don't know. Supposedly, some could have to sit out the first game, like the first round of the tournament. That's what I had heard.
From what I understand, the girl that decked Flo-J Johnson from South Carolina, Cardoso, she'll be out for the first round of the tournament, which really doesn't matter too much to them. They'll stomp whoever tiny right. school they play. But I think LSU's in the clear, and I don't think we're going to have any suspensions. There was definitely some confusion in that regard on the broadcast, as they had play stopped for a good like 20 minutes, basically, while the ref sorted everything out, and it kind of killed all the momentum. But I think we're all right, and even if somebody does have to sit out, we should be okay in the first round at least. But if it goes farther than that, then it could be tough considering our lack of depth, which did hurt us in the South Carolina game at least.
Yeah, and I think it was also the semifinal match against it was Auburn. I mean, we won that game, but it was just brutal. Like, very physical game. Players were limping afterwards. We lost that one player who's out for, I think, an indefinite period right now. But I don't know. Yeah, the fight against LSU, that whole thing, that skirmish that we're talking about, it was ugly. You know, it was just an ugly day all around, I think, in some regards with sports. But speaking of tough, it was cool to see Haley Van Lith go over there and, like, try and take on Cardoza, who, like, just towers over her. Like, don't push my player. You got to love to see that fight. She was not going to win it, but you got to love to see the fight in her, mm-hmm. is what I was trying to say. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Mulkey really addressed the concerns or what that was about, because this could, I mean, if LSU was to face him again in the tournament, it could spill over. Like, it was nasty. There was hair pulling. There was other stuff going on in that game, regardless of that one incident. I know Angel Reese was out of the game towards the end, but she, I don't know. I hope they can just play basketball at some point, and it's not going to devolve each time we see them. You know,
I feel like South Carolina's just—they've got some edge. They're a little bit dirty.
Yeah,
they were like that last year.
Like the Pistons of the '90s.
I know. Yeah.
We just need to hope that South Carolina, similar to last year, gets put on the other side of the bracket and we somehow luck into somebody else taking care of them for us, like Iowa did. And then in the meantime, have to focus on what can we do to win each next game and take it step by step against unfamiliar opponents, like last year against, I think we played Virginia Tech and Miami, teams that we don't normally square up against, but we definitely have the talent across the board to beat them. It just has to come all together. So Mulkey's got a week at least to get the crew rested and ready for the tournament. And I think we're going to be a two, possibly a three, like we were last year, but either way, long road ahead, but definitely the Tigers have enough talent to make another deep run.
Absolutely. Yeah, staying healthy is key. I'd say everyone take your ice bath this week, rest, do what you got to do.
I know I will be.
Yeah, I know Kobe would be having some bone broth soup right about now too, so don't overlook that.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and the men, on the other hand, like you said, we're probably just expecting an NIT bid at this point, but we do have Mississippi State. So even whether or not the Tigers win, I'd say the fact that Matt McMahon went from two conference wins to nine, is that has the hot seat been turned off now at this point?
I guess it's turned off, but I'd call it lukewarm.
Yeah. I think he's bought himself a year, I would say.
Yeah.
And mostly because of his large buyout, which I think is still like close to $20 million if we wanted to pay it, which is pretty crazy for like a, I guess, mid tier basketball coach. But yeah, he's got another year, I would say. But if it's similar or regressing next year, then I wouldn't be surprised if they pull the plug after year three, because at that point you're like, all right, he's had his chance to do his thing.
Yeah. And you know, we've kind of already determined what might happen with those basketball sanctions. It's not really gonna be an issue. I think that's kind of what most of us were thinking with this hire, is all right, well, if it doesn't work out, you got a built-in excuse to move on anyway, because if something bad happened to the program, it's, you know, it's not really all him anyway, but still, got that to look forward to. But moving on to baseball, good opening weekend at the box. LSU took definitely should have taken three, definitely had a chance because their pitching has kept them in it. Tiger pitching did well, at least the starters did, all three games, I would say. All of them made it five innings. All of them had pretty much a win going at that point. So, I know maybe it was 0-0 still, but pitchers did their job. And I have another comment on that, but the first two games LSU was LSU. Last game just could not find any offense, unfortunately. But again, it's good to know that our pitching will at least keep us in a game, at least for like the first half or more, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, that's a good week of LSU baseball. I mean, that one last game got away from us, but I was happy with the performance. I thought our bullpen looked decent. Had some Dana, I know we were both watching, texting about it. Had some scary inning, or a scary inning from Christian Little, but that's kind of what we're used to now.
Far from the course.
Holman looks stellar. I mean, he's good. He's really good. So I'm excited. I think it's weird. I mean, I think I said it last week, but this is a solid, very good team that I think can make a run. I don't think anyone would say they're better than last year's team by any means, but I think we're number two in the nation right now, and I think we're every bit of it.
Right. The pitching was, especially starting pitching, was really outstanding. All three weekend starters, from Holman on Friday to Gage Jump on Saturday, and then Thatcher Hurd on Sunday. But even the midweek game against Southeastern, Cade Anderson, the true freshman, came in and threw five scoreless with 13 Ks. He was mowing them down. And thankfully, we ended up clutching that game up after being down to Southeastern in the ninth inning. But it's not exactly Jay Johnson's hallmark. He's known for his hitting prowess and coaching ability, which was definitely on display last year. But yeah, the pitching, if they don't score any runs, then you can't lose. We just need to have the bats come alive a little bit more. And we haven't been quite as dynamic as we were last year. I guess that's what happens when you face a murderer's row of, like, I guess you could say Trey Morgan, Dylan Cruz, Tommy White, Gavin Dugas, like that's a top half of the lineup that's almost guaranteed to get one or more runs every time they come around to bat. And this year we definitely got pop, but not quite the same. And we've shown a little bit of a reliability on the long ball, on the home run, which when it doesn't come, kind of like that last game against Xavier that you lose 2-1, we didn't have the ability to kind of squeeze out that run either through bunting or just knocking singles up the middle. So Jay Johnson will be working on that this week, in preparation for the first SEC series against Mississippi State is when the heat really turns up. So I'm not panicking or anything. I like what's coming from the Tigers. I just hope they can polish the shine a little bit more.
Absolutely. It does come with some clutch hits at the right times. Although, as you mentioned, they did come from behind to beat Southeastern Louisiana. They came back actually in the top of the ninth against the Lions. LSU had a good string of hits. Ultimately, it was Paxton Kling's hit that put them over. So really good come from behind on the road too, because they were in Hammond, right, for that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know. They usually come to the box midweek game against the in-state opponent, but LSU's been good about that, you know, playing outside of Baton Rouge for the in-state. So I'd say
they did that like three-game series with Tech. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah. So yeah, I know they went to Tulane too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So love to
see. And they went to Nichols too, I think.
That was last year.
Yeah, that was a big game for Nichols.
That's the thing about those midweek in-state games. It's basically like their Super Bowl every week, where they have nothing to lose and they're going to leave it all out there, possibly throw their best starter against LSU, like just to get that one win for the home crowd. But then for LSU, there's not that much to gain, because if you win, it's like, oh, you're supposed to be little brother. And if you lose, it's like, well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So it does happen occasionally. LSU just needs to try and stay in their own lane and take care of business, which they've been doing so far.
Mm-hmm. They have. And Jay Johnson obviously has a plan in place regarding his aces, because LSU was doing fine in each game. Well, I'd say fine. The pitchers were scoreless, basically, and they all lasted about that same five-inning mark. And then he pulls them. I noticed it didn't really matter what the score was. It could have been 1-0 Tigers, 0-0, whatever it was. But it's like he's making them go those five innings, and then he's seen what else he has after that. Or, but he also is like, well, even if they were up, because it's, we're looking at the last two weekends also. It's like, even if LSU was up, it's like, why push it? He's obviously, managing these guys well so that there's longevity in mind also, I believe.
Right? Yeah.
He's pulled them all around him right around the same time.
I think that, again, like this team is built, for SEC play and for Omaha, and so I don't sweat them taking a loss to Xavier. I don't think they do either. I mean, of course, it's not ideal. You want to be able to put up the offensive numbers, but if the bats aren't alive, and like you said, they don't have anything to prove, so they're not going to waste any effort. Because they've got bigger fish to fry coming up SEC play starts this weekend with, is that right? Yeah, this weekend with Mississippi State.
In Starkville.
That is a very hostile environment. And don't look now, but the Aggies, Texas A&M, they were undefeated before this weekend. I forgot to follow up to see if they were still, but they're looking tougher each week. Of course, we'll see how it is when they get to the SEC play, but looking good there. And then I don't know. I was just able to listen to some of the commentary too. They were talking about Milam, the monster, as we shared last week. Did you hear why they call him the monster? Did you guys hear that story?
Mm-mm.
Mostly just because as he was getting older, he was still pretty young, but I guess apparently he was a very hairy kid. Yeah, so his parents, after he was about a certain age, he just had a lot of hair, and like, this kid's a monster.
Wow.
That's what it is. I know. You think, oh, he's a monster on the diamond. Well,
he's that too.
Yeah, that too. Guys, you can see why he's starting as a freshman, but no, he's also just this very hairy individual, at least when he was young. So that's why you hear the name monster associated with him. But yeah, some of those situations I could see where he was already on. You know, got a hit, took a walk, something. The guy's very active in our offense. We love it.
Yeah.
Anything else? Because I think that was about it for baseball.
Yeah, that's all I got for baseball.
But. Yeah, two midweek games. North Dakota State coming to town for Tuesday, Wednesday, which is the rare two games in the middle of the week from an unusual opponent. So the Bison, known for players like Carson Wentz and Trey Lance. I don't know anything about their baseball. Yeah, and then going to Starkville for the first weekend of SEC play. So if you got an appetite for baseball, certainly a full menu this week.
Yeah, well, we got one of their linebackers, who remember that guy, the linebacker?
Jabril Cox, Brillo Pad.
Yeah, exactly. He was hot for a season. But yeah, I that's what I thought of when I saw that they were coming to town.
Wasn't he the crown jewel of Bo Pelini's like recruiting class that year?
Right. Well, he was supposed to be the leader of the post national championship defense in 2020, and then it came out and
with Bo Pelini.
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put that on Bo.
But I think he got drafted pretty high, even for being not very good.
Right.
Like, I think he was like a first or second rounder. I might be wrong.
I think you're right. I'd say at least a second rounder. Anyway, speaking of football, LSU did have a nice weekend. It was junior day. They had some hot recruits in town. A lot of posts on social media. Don't know, what else has changed during the weekend, but there was that. I don't know. Maybe you guys followed some of the Insta posts a little bit more closely, but anything to say about the football recruiting?
I did see, I don't know if this is, I don't really know what to make of this, but I did see a social media post that, Bryce Underwood had firmly committed to Joe Sloan. So I thought he was already committed, but maybe he's even more committed.
Coach, or it was like a, just as a, like my word is friend, bond, maybe? They broing out what's going
on. Yeah. But hey, he's like the number one quarterback in the nation. So if he wants to firmly commit, then I'm for it. The other thing I saw football wise, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the quote from Garrett Nussmeier?
No.
About, he said something like, I think it was 9-win or 10-win. Like for he that the feeling is for this team, 9 or 10 wins is not enough or something like that. So that's kind of cool. Good attitude going into the spring. Let's hope they can back it up. I'm anxious to see him, really like first year with, what do you call with? Like, this is his first year with the reins completely on his own.
Well, right. Go ahead, Daniel.
I was just going to say on the recruiting class, LSU still has a number two class in the country for 2025, trailing only Notre Dame just because they have 17 total commits and we only have 10. We have 3 stars and they have none. So just by volume, we're behind them. But in terms of quality, I would say we're number one. So Brian Kelly's got to keep his foot on the gas there. And hopefully Bryce Underwood can keep bringing in other top players. But it'll be exciting to see how that develops as potentially one of the best LSU classes in the last number of years.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is a lot of times in the past it's mattered who was calling the plays, the offensive coordinator. You could say, oh, man, it was amazing when Joe Brady was here. He wasn't even the coordinator that year the Tigers won it.
Yeah.
And before that, it was, I don't know. I'd say the one that did the most with the least is probably in 2011, although it, turned up flat for the title game, but – LSU's had some decent coordinators, but we're going with the split this year with Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton for wide receivers. They're putting our plan together. So, Nuss has the first year under his belt, like being the shot caller, the guy that's going to execute the plays, but he's going to have a different coordinator, but he's going to have two. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I imagine kind of like the spring game won't really tell us much. We'll just see some big plays. We'll see what we think we'll see from him. But the real nitty gritty, I think, will be in the fall when we play another crazy schedule and see how he reacts. moment to moment in these big games, because that'll be what's new for him. We know
he can throw it. We know he can throw it. Yeah, we know he's got some touch. I feel like he added some touch. We talked about that after the bowl game. It's going to be how he acts as a leader and I don't want to say game manager, because that's like a bad thing now, but really like how he manages the being a quarterback of an SEC team that really there's a vacuum in the SEC right now, other than outside of Georgia. I think it's going to be wide open, and so I think it's as good as our opportunity as anybody's.
Mm-hmm. And with the type of schedule that LSU has this year, with Oklahoma and UCLA and all the rest of the SEC opponents, there's definitely opportunities to take advantage of and make his mark in the LSU history book. So you mentioned the 9-10 wasn't good enough. That's been one of the criticisms levied at Brian Kelly, that's his kind of floor and ceiling at the same range.
Yep.
So hopefully he can break through that glass ceiling and really take him to 11, 12, even beyond this upcoming fall.
Absolutely. And it's definitely possible. Like you said, there's a vacuum in the SEC. I think that's, even if Saban hadn't left, it felt like, you know, the tide was already turning. But now that he has gone and the rest of the SEC West was kind of, you know, just a down year for everyone, not necessarily LSU, but Ole Miss had a good year. Alabama was almost Alabama, but everything else, you know, it's a lot weaker in the West than the years past. But I'd say the same was with Georgia, because Florida's not where they were. Tennessee didn't really have the season like we would have thought after that breakout year, you know, with Hendon. Now that he's gone, you know, that program, I'd say, if they didn't stay the same, they took a step down. So it really is Georgia and whoever makes it out of the West. Now, Georgia's different. They still got the same quarterback for next year since he decided to stay. But, I mean, they're losing some of their skill players, too. And you could tell they didn't quite look the same this year, even though they were still number one for most of the year. But I think the SEC is ripe for the picking for someone new to take over.
I think so. And I think that bringing Texas and Oklahoma in, like, I think that's going to – I like us. I like our chances against both of them. But I think that's good. But either way, like Daniel said, like, we've got Oklahoma on the schedule this coming season. Like, that's going to be seen as a better win, I would say, than a win against a Missouri or a win against a Mississippi State or even a win against, like, an A&M. Just because of the brand. Exactly. Well, but there are no gimmies, like, really in the SEC, but, like, Oklahoma, I'm not saying I don't put them on the same level as a Bama, as a Georgia, as even an Ole Miss.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, even in one of their down years, like, you still beat Oklahoma if you
win.
That
means something. Yes. And same thing, like, Daniel, the same point you were making with USC, like USC and UCLA, but maybe not as much UCLA, but definitely like USC. Like, we go to Las Vegas week one and really make a statement win against USC. That's going to say a lot about, or it's going to say a lot on the national stage for LSU.
It is. We do have to contain whoever they're going to be next year. I mean, they look great in their bowl game. Quarterback, like, broke records in the process. So the other thing with LSU, speaking of our offense, you know, obviously it's our defense and in rebuilding that. We will, of course, get that for all you folks, spring game, preseason. But, I mean, it was nice because they've you know, had spring practice that's begun. And they've allowed filming, and it's nice to see Corey Raymond back out there.
Mm.
Even if, you know, it still remains to be seen, because we're still bringing in guys. You know, it's not like we have a second or third years with Raymond coming back this year. It's still kind of plug and play, but it's nice to see him back there.
Yeah, and hopefully he can bring back what we all know him for. DBU, where's it been? Will it ever come back? We don't know. But, I mean, his guess is as good as anybody's.
Yeah, there's only room for improvement from last year. At least I hope I don't jinx it by saying that, but it can't get much worse.
It's true.
No, yeah. I mean, much worse would be like 2020, 2021. Yes. And he was here for that, but there are other things going on at that time that I don't think we're going to have this fall. But excited to see what Blake Baker can do in, you know, less than one season's time. Because
I'm very excited about Blake Baker. I think he's gonna do a great job. I loved. I mean, Missouri was one of my favorite non LSU teams to watch past couple of years. I mean, that's their Drinkwitz is great. And I mean, Blake Baker obviously had a lot to do with their defensive success last year. So I'm excited to see it. I think he'll be very good for us.
Absolutely. And just so you folks know, this is all leading up to the spring game, the LSU's National L Club spring game. It will be on Saturday, April 13th in Tiger Stadium. Kickoff is at 1 local time. It will be on, the SEC Network Plus or ESPN or something like that. So you should be able to see something. But I don't know. I imagine they would offer it up free like they have in years past, and anyone that can go can.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I might have to show up. Depends on, I think the past couple of years it's been blazing hot. Hopefully this year will be a little bit milder. But either way, I'll be watching it. And the spring game is one of my favorite things. I love watching all the spring games. Like every team, if there's a spring game on, I'll watch it. Just I feel like it's fun to watch. So yeah. It's good to get us into that football mindset.
Yeah, I did see ESPN announce that they will be showing the Alabama spring game on ESPN main channel. It is the only one on the main network this year. Last year, the only one they showed on the main network was Colorado with all the Coach Prime nonsense going on. So now they're trying to take a look at Bama with their new coach post Nick Saban. So I'm sure people will tune into that. But you can find LSU on whatever the network they're on the Tiger Vision.
Oh, I forgot about that. On gold, LSU gold, which I feel like has not taken off.
Maybe we should ask them about it. Just have them on the show. Why isn't this taken off already?
Hey, Scott, what's up with, not my Scott, Scott Woodward. Oh. What's up with LSU gold?
We need 50 million subscribers.
We'll have him on. I'll reach out.
Yep.
See what he says. But other than that, until we hear back from Scott Woodward's office, do you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up?
That's it for me.
I think that's it for me.
Yeah, go Tigers in the men's basketball this week, and then depending on when we record next week, we'll have our brackets ready for March Madness.
Yep.
Bracketology, bring them, because I'd say we should list some picks here just to put it on the record. So no one's filling out their brackets after round one. Okay. I don't know. We'll just limit it to the 64, the big dance, not the NIT, since that's probably where the Tigers are going, you know, if they're offered and they take it. But anywho, we will have that, other scores, and any other news for you folks next week, like we always do here on Talking Ticks. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned. And we will talk to you next time on Talking Ticks.